Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No advice.
What were the worst wrestling moments of 2019? I am Luke Owen. This is Pete Quenell, King Chopper Whopper. And we're going to go through what we think are the collectively worst moments in wrestling in 2019. We're not talking about storylines. We're not talking about matches. Just talking about moments.
So it's... a specific thing that we can define. This one thing was very, very bad. Because, like, there's a lot of things we could say that are bad in general in 2019. Like,
Rusev, Lana, Lashley. Shane McMahon. Like, one of the worst things. But really, it's those are storylines or matches or characters. We're looking for worst moments. So, let's kick off this list with number 10. This was definitely Ollie Davis's. This is a list that we've put together in the office. We actually like had a big half-hour meeting about this and be like, right, what were the worst moments of the year? We'll type them all down. Then we're like, okay, well, that was worse than that one. Let's move this up. And I feel this is definitely an Ollie Davis entry onto this list.
Absolutely.
It's the reveal of fake Rowan.
And it was awful. It was dreadful because the story was that Roman Reigns had been being attacked and they Buddy Murphy said that it was Rowan that was the attacker. So then Brian and Rowan said, no, it wasn't us. It was this guy. And they revealed it. And it's a guy that looked like Rowan. And then it panned up to Roman Reigns who was there and he just went, huh?
And then it pans back to these two and they both go... And it was never mentioned again.
No, and it was awful. It was dreadful. In a story that was starting to build intrigue, started off a bit weird, but then some people started to get into it. This just derailed it straight again. It was great.
The Roman Reigns attacker storyline is the bizarrest story of 2019.
It
changed on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe was involved with it at one point.
Yeah.
And it just felt like it kept going off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, what are we going to do this week? We're going to do this. And then what we're going to do? It's Buddy Murphy. And then we'll do... Buddy Murphy pinned Daniel Bryan in all of this.
Oh my God, he did, didn't he?
And then... But this for me was the creme de la creme of it, which was, yeah, we're going to do the reveal of who really attacked Roman Reigns. And they reveal it to be... Fake Rowan. And then the sort of breathing heavily. And then like the confusion on everyone's face. Daniel Bryan was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
What have I got myself into? And then
it was
bonkers. Never mentioned again.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Although it did give birth to probably the greatest meme of the year, which is that scene just with the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme played over the top. Because it is great.
Right, at number 9, this took place at the New Japan Ring of Honor G1 Supercard show at Madison Square Garden. Mm. A show that was like a 50-50 show. All the really good stuff came from New Japan. and all the very bad stuff came from Ring of Honor, with the exception of their ROH title triple threat mm-hmm. main event. That was yeah. that was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Really, really good stuff. But, like, you know, let's not forget Mega Ran. Let's never forget Mega Ran. And one of the moments on that show, which is kind of been really forgotten this year, was during the Four Corners tag match that they were having, where all of a sudden, Enzo and Big Cass, or Enzo and Kaz XL, attacked at ringside. Mm-hmm. Like, they started, like, jumping the Tongans, and like, people just started getting involved, and it was really all over the show.
And they shot it as if it was an unplanned...
If it was a shoot.
As if it was a shoot. You saw, like, Bully Ray coming down, but then they panned to the... They had, like, a hard cut to the commentators who were just like, and we're going to try and regain some order here. But you could see in the back of the shot that they were still kind of going at it at ringside, and yeah. they never really acknowledged them. So it was like, is it at work? Is it a shoot? And it was not great.
And why... The reason why this has ended up on our list is because there were a lot of people in this match who were very unhappy about this, particularly, as I made reference to, the Guerrillas of Destiny, because I don't think they were told ahead of time that this was going to be happening, mm-hmm. because most likely they wouldn't have worked with Enzo and Cass, because they'd had got a bit of a bad reputation, around, particularly around this period of time. And it was a decision that was made by ROH management. New Japan didn't really want to do it, but mm-hmm. ROH did. And from what I can gather as well, if I remember the reports, was... It was all top brass ROH management wanted to do it, but none of the creative team wanted to do it. So they were sort of like forced to mm-hmm. do this angle. And it didn't go anywhere.
No, I think they again, if I'm remembering reports correctly, they did it to try and gauge the reaction. And the reaction was very, very negative.
Very
and they
poor.
Were like, never mind.
Yeah.
And we won't do that anymore.
Yes, so they didn't do any more business with them. They didn't appear at any TV show tapings or anything like that. So yeah, it was... It was a bit of a misfire on a show that had quite a few misfires. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget Mega Ran.
Let's not forget Mega Ran.
Poor old Mega Ran. He's probably a really nice guy. Probably like a really, really lovely bloke. But he performed at Madison Square Garden and everyone was like, F Mega Ran! Boo!
Boo this man!
Right, well, speaking of boo this man, this for me, this should be higher on the list. If I had my way, this would be higher on the list.
Number 8.
There's an episode of Raw where the main event was Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre. Remember that partnership? It was a partnership that quietly ended.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Roman Reigns and Gary the Goat Garbutt. If you listen to this, you'd be like, who the hell's Gary the
Who's
Goat?
Who's that?
Gary the Goat Garbutt was a janitor that, like an old janitor that... Drew and Shane had hired backstage. They paid him $5,000 to be Roman Reigns' tag partner because, mm-hmm. well, we're heels. And now, Roman, you've got a tag with an old man. What heels?
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the match. And Gary the Goat Garbutt comes down in his janitor overalls and this wrestling mask.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Lucha Libre mask. And in through all of this action, he gets tagged in. And so the commentators are like, oh, no, this is an old man. He's going to be tagged in. And, like, Drew throws him into the ring, and he tags in Shane, and Shane's sort of like, ha, 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 I'm Shane. Ba, 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 ba. And then all of a sudden, Gary starts making a comeback.
Which was amazing, by the way.
And Gary, he slips a couple of times, but I think he's doing it in dress shoes. So, like,
yeah, can't really blame him.
Give him some credit. You know, he's trying to do a springboard wearing slacks. Like, you know. Kane wasn't doing that when he was corporate Kane, you know what I mean? So, you know, he's doing his best as what he can. And it's a really fun little comeback. The crowd are mega into this as well because it's like, wow, yeah, this is what you do. The heels get their comeuppance because they've been outsmarted by the baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drew claymores him in the face and Shane McMahon pins him.
which, again, I think would have been okay if they had just been like, Okay, actually, you know what? Get on to the next bit, and I will do my whole rant afterwards.
Because I will disagree. Because as soon as Drew pinned him, he was like, well, this segment's completely fallen off the rails, isn't it? This has failed, hasn't it? You had a really good idea for a moment there, and then mm-hmm. you sat on it.
Yeah.
And so, like, so Gary lost the match.
Yes.
And then Roman Reigns gets in, and he clears house. And they then do the reveal as Drew and Shane are walking up the ramp. that it was Cedric Alexander all along. And Cedric's there bleeding from the mouth because he got claymored in the face. And he looks at Roman and says, "Ha, we got him." You lost. You didn't get anyone. You lost.
Absolute div.
And he's standing there going like, "Yuck, yuck. Waka waka. The good guys win." It's like, no, the good guys lost. The baddies won. And it was just the weirdest reveal. Like, everything was there in place for this to work. Gary just needed to pinch Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
To be like, "Oh my God, what was this about?" And then you did the reveal where it's like, "Waka waka, I'm actually a wrestler."
Yeah, yeah.
But he lost.
He lost.
He got claymored in the face and got pinned from one move and then acted like he won. It was the dumbest ending to this show. I'm talking about Raw, not this show. It was the dumbest ending to an episode of Raw that's happened this year. And I rewatched it. Mm. Well, the pair of us rewatched it before we started to record this. And I was just reminded all over again, how did you book this? How did you get to this point where you're like, and he loses and then acts like he wins?
He loses and then celebrates. It's literally that. I think it would have been okay if you'd have had the comeback. He does the claymore, Shane pins him, and then he's upset afterwards, or Roman is upset afterwards, because he's like, "You cost me the match by being an idiot and tagging in and doing your whole thing. You should have just tagged me straight back in because I know I can win." Or Cedric is upset because he's not proved himself the way he wanted to, or something. Just don't have him celebrate afterwards.
It's the best. Really? God. I know this is on the worst list, but in hindsight, it's hilarious.
So funny.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Right, well, I'm going to let you do number 7 because this is your show now, mate.
Yeah, it is.
Your sports-orientated show. The Fox have paid billions for.
Oh, God. So at number 7, in this never-ending feud between King Corbin and Roman Reigns, there's a certain episode of SmackDown. And there's been some pretty bad moments in this feud anyway. The one we've gone for this one was one particular promo where Baron Corbin, who's not known for great promos, I think he himself is a great promo.
He's just given bad material.
His promos are terrible.
He's given bad material to work with.
Absolutely.
Even the greatest comedian can't make every joke work.
Absolutely. This is another King Corbin promo. He goes on for a long time. He remixes Roman Reigns' theme to include Chihuahua barks. God. So for every durdun, durdun, it's a Chihuahua bark.
I'm in my 30s.
Yeah, yeah. And then instead of Roman Reigns coming out to the ring, it's someone who's in a dog mascot. Do you get it? Because he's the big dog.
This is, it's one of those moments. I'm not watching SmackDown live anymore. Mm. And I'm not watching it the day after either because it's a Saturday.
And in fact, I'm not watching it at all.
Eventually I get around to watching it, but like, I've never really been in a rush to watch SmackDown since it moved to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on Twitter, you know, you scroll through or you read you know, the Wrestling Observer, what happens? You know, you go to the websites and stuff and find out what happened. And when I saw these images, I was like, "Oh God, I'm a grown man.
Why am I watching
grown
this?
Grown man, I'm in my mid-30s watching this other grown man yucking it up with his grown men friends
mm-hmm.
at a dog mascot to get heel heat."
Yes.
And the worst part about this is there's a really old man backstage laughing his tits off.
Absolutely. Yeah. Audience of one.
This is audience of one.
And that one, I'm sure, absolutely loved this segment.
Yeah.
And later on in the show, the dog mascot's still with Corbin in a backstage segment. And then next week, never seen again.
No.
what was the point?
And I really do. This is worse than the dog food bit.
Yeah.
Like, the dog food thing was like, "Oh, guys, come on. Like, we're grown now. Yeah. Let's stop it." But I think this is worse than the dog food.
Yeah, because I think with the dog food, at least it's, you know, a little bit humiliating.
Yeah.
There is somewhat, it's not like a physically damaging thing, but it's like, you're being a dick by putting this dog food on me. Whereas this one is like, is that supposed to insult him?
Yeah.
Is it supposed to make Corbin feel better? What's the point?
Yeah, because it doesn't get any heel heat on Corbin.
No. Because it's just a,
or any babyface heat on Roman.
No, it's just a person in a dog costume. What's the what does it do? I don't know.
Well, a more serious one that I think, and this for me is one of the worst moments of the year. And you know, you could argue that it was a mistake. You know, it was an accident, but you shouldn't have set this up in the first place to be the way that it went down. And it's the Cody Rhodes chair shot heard around the world, which was when Shawn Spears came down at Fighter Fest after the match he had with Darby Allin. And he wallops him in the head as hard as he can. And the report is, Tony Khan said afterwards, it was a gimmick chair. Like, it was supposed to be a gimmick chair. Cody's head was basically just like, go through it. Wasn't supposed to really damage him. That's why he turned his head. But for whatever reason, it went nipples north. And he wallops him with this chair as hard as he can. And Cody bleeds a gusher. He just crumples to the floor. Bleeding a gusher. Concussion City. And, you know, it got Shawn Spears the heel heat. But I think it's the worst kind of heel heat because I think this is a reckless, idiotic thing to have done in 2019.
Absolutely. I mean, it might have been acceptable back in the day, but we know a lot better now about some of the effects that can happen when you do stuff like this. So even if it was a gimmicked chair, it's still a very dangerous spot to do. And guess what? It backfired.
Yeah.
And that was a very serious spot that could have been even worse.
It was just like, it's, there was no need for it either. Like, I remember when me and Laurie did our review of the show, and the pair of us were like, it was so unnecessary to do it the way they did it. You could have got the same heel heat and the chairman gimmick for Shawn Spears with a different kind of chair attack. But to do this, and it was a proper like Balls Mahoney reaching back, swinging as hard as he can. And, like, I know, you know, there will be some people watching this who'll be like, ah, snowflakes, SJWs, or whatever it is, you know, whatever terms you like to use on the internet. You just, you know, you, it was a hardcore spot. We used to do hardcore spots back in the time. It's, I always remember Mick Foley's story that he tells, which is that at one point he was driving home after a show in New York, and he drove past his house because he forgot where he lived.
Yeah.
Because Mick Foley, over the years, took a lot of these sort of shots to their heads, and it has a long-term effect. We're living in a post-Benoit world now. We should not be doing unprotected chair shots, even with gimmick chairs. I thought it was a really, really bad move.
Yeah, it was not great.
No.
Speaking of not great.
Oh, I'll let you take this one.
Oh, man. So, at number five, this one is a match. However, it's more of a moment, because this one took place in Saudi Arabia, where the real feel was it was very hot in Saudi Arabia.
The real feel was old enough to kill two old dudes.
This is The Undertaker versus Goldberg, which is arguably the worst match of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we argued about this in the office. I would have put this lower down the list because, as housemate Simon and I argued, who thought this was going to be good?
I would argue I thought it could have been okay if it lasted about a minute. If they did a very quick spot, 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 person wins. Great.
They did do that.
They tried to do that.
Well, yeah, they tried. Yeah, yeah.
It went about 4 minutes too long, which in the real feel is just, you know,
it's like an extra 20 minutes.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, this was a really, really bad, bad moment.
And it resulted in injuries for both of them, I believe. Yep. Goldberg got a bloody head and a concussion. There was botched tombstones. And
yeah, he wouldn't go up for the choke slam. Or he couldn't go up for the choke slam.
Couldn't go up for the choke slam. It was hard to watch. And it was just something where you just go, just please end this match now.
Yeah.
One, because for their own safety, but also because it's just a bad match as well.
I honestly didn't think there could be anything worse than DX versus the Brothers of Destruction at Crown Jewel last November. But Undertaker Goldberg managed to do so with Super Showdown. It was, an ugly, ugly match.
Yeah.
In fact, really, the only positive that has come out of this is that Matt Riddle has found a Twitter character. Like, he's found a new Twitter character for himself, and he can do the Broberg stuff on, you know, the house shows and stuff, and he's done it on pay-per-views. And so that's been good. But it was like, you know, Goldberg's not happy with the match. Taker wasn't happy with the match. I don't think anyone in the crowd was happy with the match. It was an embarrassing sight to see.
Exactly, yeah. Which makes it in the top five for worst of the year, because it was not great.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Well, in at number four, we didn't want to just do NXT call-ups, general. Because, like, you know, as we all know, it's become a yearly tradition. We do a load of NXT call-ups and none of them do anything.
Yeah.
Andrade still isn't doing anything. He's been here for 2 years now at this point. But there was an episode of Raw, which was shortly after the On Their Way to WWE call-ups of NXT talent, which was, you know, off the back of the "we're sorry, sorry" promo that the McMahon's cut, where they were like, "we're sorry, our show's bad, sorry, you're the authority now."
Yeah.
It was the show in which they opened up and effectively said, "we're sorry again, the show's still not good, here's four NXT call-ups."
Yes.
And they had a graphic on screen that said, tonight we were going to get the debuts of Tommaso Ciampa, NXT champion Tommaso Ciampa, North American champion Johnny Gargano, Aleister Black and Ricochet.
Yep.
Out the blue.
Mm-hmm.
This was apparently a very, very last minute decision. They were like, just call them up. Vince called Triple H. The story goes, Vince called Triple H and said, give me your four top talent.
Yeah.
We need to put those four on now. And they just came out and it was in front of a bad crowd that had no, I know people will blame the crowd for this, but they were given no reason to be excited about these four lads, these four random lads. So it just instantly flattened all four of them out.
Yep.
Like, legit should be top talent guys, flatten them all out. But worse for me, it was damaging to what they were doing on NXT.
So damaging. Not only because Ciampa was a face on the main roster when he was a heel on NXT.
Mega heel.
The top heel on NXT. He teamed with Johnny Gargano on the main roster, and they were feuding in NXT.
Yeah.
After their long, long storied rivalry. And they just threw it all in the can because they wanted to do a cheap ratings bump for the main roster.
Which didn't work.
And the instant that graphic came up with the four of them on it and I saw Ciampa was smiling I was like, oh no.
Yeah, it was bad.
They've ruined this.
From the get-go. And, you know, Ollie and I took a lot of heat from the Rust Talk Live episode we did after that episode aired. We took a lot of heat because we said, this is bad. Mm-hmm. Like, this is really, really bad. And everyone said, you're being too negative. You're not giving this a chance. And I don't want to be the hate to say I told you so kind of guys and the kind of channel, but everything that we said was going to happen did happen. They instantly all got flattened out. Ciampa got injured, which then completely ruined the end storyline, the end point they had, the end game for Gargano Ciampa. And Aleister Black and Ricochet just became a random tag team.
Yeah.
Which led to nothing. Led to a WrestleMania match. And then
they stopped tagging.
They stopped tagging and went off in different directions. Ricochet has had some stuff to do, but he's now just become this cartoon superheroes are real. Mm-hmm. And Aleister Black's been stuck in a cupboard for months.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, neither of them got anything to do because... And it all stems from this one episode where you debuted them as nothing. You debuted them as a bunch of mid-carders.
Mm-hmm.
And they just got treated like a bunch of mid-carders from there on. Like, all the damaging stuff in NXT, I think it really damaged the four of them.
Yeah, it really, really did. I think the biggest thing for me is what they ruined on NXT. Because not having the culmination to Gargano and Ciampa's feud is like having the entirety of the MCU without Endgame.
Yeah,
completely. It's like,
you're absolutely right.
You don't have the end point.
Yeah.
And we'll never get that now. Because they decided to call the four of them up.
In a panic move.
Yeah. And it really frustrates me, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's really deserving to be this high up on the list. And it is, like, in esteemed company as well when we get into our top three.
Oh, God.
I really do think that, you know, it's one of those shows that people will look back on as this year comes to a close and be like, yeah, actually, do you know what? That was bad. It was damaging.
Yeah.
Much like... I'm almost tempted to switch these two around. You know, we've got number three and number two. I'm almost tempted to switch them around because this one really is bad. Let's stick with the list we've got.
Let's stick with it.
But this was bad.
This is very close between two and three, by the way.
It is really, really close. It's the end of Kofi Mania. So Kofi Mania caught fire in February when Mustafa Ali got injured and they needed a replacement for the Elimination Chamber. And so they held this gauntlet match where New Day said, we're putting Kofi Kingston in. And I remember at the time, me and Ollie were like, oh, I kind of wish it was Xavier Woods. Mm-hmm. Because at the time, we didn't see that this was going to blow up into this almost like Yes-O-Mania style, like babyface reaction for Kofi. So in hindsight, we were way wrong. And I'm so glad it was Kofi. So Kofi gets put into this match and accidentally gets over.
Yeah.
To a huge, huge degree.
Yeah.
Kofi Mania, like, blows up.
In the course of one match as well. Just the story they told in that match. Because it seemed like, unless I'm horribly mistaken, I seem to remember at the time, they were saying they literally did the Mustafa Ali story they were going to do, but they just put Kofi in instead for that one match.
Yes.
That was what they wanted
exactly,
to do.
Exactly, yeah.
But that story was so good, and Kofi got so over and built off his entire 11-year career up to that point, that... he became the biggest thing in the company in the course of one match.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely incredible. Like, in terms of the storytelling that Kofi did throughout that match, it was masterful stuff.
It was.
And he then got, like, and it was only supposed to be for that Elimination Chamber deal.
Yep.
Like, they would do the Elimination Chamber, and then they would go back to their original plan, which was Bryan versus Owens. That's what they were going to do at WrestleMania, was Bryan versus Owens. Owens was going to come back as the big babyface. That all fell apart because... Kofi got over. Mm-hmm. And credit to WWE, they went with momentum.
Yep.
They realized they had something here and they were like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do Kofi Mania running into WrestleMania and he's going to win the WWE Championship and it's going to be brilliant. And it's going to be one of the best moments of the year. And it was.
It was.
Despite some of their best efforts, because they kept getting the McMahons involved.
Mm-hmm.
McMahon was all over the build to WrestleMania.
Oh, God.
We'll get to them in
a second. Authority figures.
No, well, yeah, quite. Because we're the authority.
Yeah.
And so WrestleMania comes. He wins the title. Yes. Brilliant.
Great.
And it really was. You know what? It was amazing.
It was. It was probably the best moment of that night, and probably one of the best moments of the year, yeah, was Kofi 100%. Winning that title. Xavier Woods and Big E holding him up. Xavier Woods, like, ugly crying over it. Oh, it was amazing.
I've rewatched that moment. And when the New Day jump into the ring and celebrate with him, and the pair of them are just, like, bawling their eyes out. Like, it brings me to tears. Like, yeah. It is. It's a beautiful, beautiful moment.
So how do they follow up with that? How can you end something that momentous?
Well, I mean, I think the end of Kofi Mania is, like, effectively... The end of Kofi Mania began when it started. Because, yes. Like, as soon as he won the title, he was instantly booked like a mid-carder.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you're facing recently heel Kevin Owens, which has undermined the babyface turn, and then we're just going to turn him babyface again very soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's against Dolph Ziggler, who they seemingly feuded for months on
they
end.
They did, yeah.
And no one ever bought into his challenges. The only time they bought into a challenger was Randy Orton.
Yep.
But even then, they booked the feud out of order, so it never really got over to the point it should have done. And then we get to the actual conclusion of this, which is Brock Lesnar beats him in 8 seconds.
Yeah. Which I think Lesnar should have won that match.
Yep. No, I agree. I think Kofi Mania had come to an end.
Totally. It's the way it ended. In 8 seconds, you don't give Kofi any offense in the match. It is he runs at Lesnar. Lesnar picks him up, hits an F5 and wins.
I couldn't believe it.
I could.
Well, yeah, you know, really. Like, it's one of those things when it finished, like, yeah.
What did I expect?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah more for me.
Yeah.
For thinking that we might get something here.
Exactly. Even if, and I think this is something that absolutely could have been done, and I don't see a reason why they couldn't do it, have Kofi kick out a 1F5.
Yeah.
That is it. That is bare minimum what you could give people.
Everyone else bloody does.
Exactly. Have him kick out a 1F5, because at the very least, it still wouldn't have been great, but we're not insulted to the point of having ever believed in Kofi Kingston as a main event talent.
And that's it. And like it really did feel like more for us for getting invested.
Yeah.
Because we made lots of references to the fact, like in the builds to pay-per-views, it's best of both worlds, so it's Raw and SmackDown. Kofi always felt like fourth or fifth most important thing. He was always behind Roman Reigns' storylines. He was always behind something else with Seth. He was just further and further. He was a mid-card guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Jack Swagger run with the belt. It was Daniel Bryan's first run. It was Christian's run. It was Punk's first run. It's like, yeah, you're the champion, but you're not really.
Yeah.
You're not the main event of this show.
Yeah.
We've just handed you this fake belt and this fake title. Like and to end it then to be like, yeah, it's all about Brock now. And for Kofi to Thanos away and for Cain Velasquez to make his debut, like all of that, it was all for Cain Velasquez to have one match in Saudi Arabia where he taps out in a couple of minutes.
To have a segment where Kofi is playing fifth wheel in a match where he walked in as the champion, I think is insane.
Insane.
Because you've got Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez, and Rey Mysterio that were all more important than Kofi in that entire segment. I think it's nuts to have the best moment of the year be almost related to one of the worst moments of the year.
An absolute embarrassment.
Totally.
An absolute embarrassment. Shocking. And he deserved so much better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to meet Kofi, because it'd be the first thing I'd tell him.
Mm-hmm.
You deserved much better than you got.
Yeah.
You deserved an actual main event run. You deserved actual challenges. You deserved a proper reign. Because you didn't get a proper reign. And the ending was rubbish. Because worse still, it's never been followed up on.
No.
As soon as he lost, it's back down to the mid-card with you, my friend. Back down to the lower mid-card. You're not even getting a sniff at this title now. Because you never were a main eventer.
The following week, he was doing a Susan G. Komen promo with the rest of the New Day to the crowd and didn't mention anything about losing the WWE Championship.
It's back in the tag picture. It's where you belong, kid.
Yeah.
It's a real, real shame.
Awful.
Speaking of derailing, and this is another big one for Oliver Davis.
Mm, totally.
He fought very, very hard for this to get pushed high up the list. And I can see why, because this is a career, not killing moments, but it's a momentum killing moment.
Oh, yeah.
It's Becky Lynch apologizing to the McMahons.
Yep.
So in the lead up to WrestleMania, and they balls this story up left, right, and center. It was all about returns and suspensions and fines and blah-de-blah-de-blah. It's Charlotte Flair, it's all this. But the worst bit for me is when Stephanie McMahon and Triple H demanded that Becky Lynch apologize.
Yeah.
And Becky was like, I'm not going to apologize because you're just going to screw me out of something.
Mm-hmm.
And they pleaded with her and like, we're not going to screw you out of it. We just want an apology. And so she apologized. And they went.
And that was it.
And they went, cool, thanks. Instantly undermines her because you know who's in control? It's the McMahons. It's
yeah.
not you. It's not you, main event star Becky Lynch. You're not in control of anything. You're not a star. We're the stars. Apologize to us and we get our way.
It's the,
and then we leave.
It's the anti-authority figure bowing to authority.
What were like, they thinking?
It is backwards. It's totally backwards because Becky Lynch, since Survivor Series, was the hottest thing in the company. And they built her and she won the Royal Rumble and people absolutely adored her from then on. Even though she lost to Asuka on the show, she then went to win the Royal Rumble later on and people were so into her. And then it built and built and built and people were saying, WrestleMania main event, WrestleMania main event, WrestleMania main event. She's going to do it. She's going to win the title there. It's going to be great. And then she apologized to the McMahons and now people are like, should she main event now?
Yeah, it really did derail all that momentum that you were just talking about. Really good momentum
yeah.
as well. And it just felt like this company was doing their darndest to upset the apple cart and like and just like throw everything out there. Like, we didn't need Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't need the big McMahon reveal of Charlotte Flair. We didn't need Becky and suspensions. We didn't need Becky apologizing to the McMahons. And it never built to anything.
No.
It didn't matter a jot. It was just so the McMahons could have the top babyface of the company apologize to them on national TV to show that they're in control. And what did it achieve? What did it achieve other
Nothing.
Than make her look rubbish? Steve Austin never would have apologized.
No, never.
Vince McMahon would have asked time and time again for Stone Cold Steve Austin to come to, you're going to apologize to me, Mr. Austin. I will not be treated this way. I am Mr. McMahon. You know, it's and the other. And then Austin to come down, I don't give a rat's ass. Middle finger, stunner. Crowd goes bonkers because, like, yes, anti-authority figure is being anti-authority.
Exactly.
But as you brilliantly said, the anti-authority figure in this instance bowed down to authority.
Yeah, and it makes, it's the opposite of what her character is and has been in the storyline. And it wasn't even like it was a clever, oh yeah, I'm sorry for you being stupid or anything yeah. like that. It was just like, yeah, no, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Why? Why? Oh, don't get it. Don't get it.
It was a bad, bad, bad call.
Yeah.
And I agree with Ollie Davis that it should be high on this list.
However, there's one thing that's worse than that.
Yep. It is our number one worst moment of the year. Chopper Pete Quinnell,
well,
what have we got?
Laurie and I did the live reactions for Hell in a Cell this year.
Oh my god.
So this was...
Tell me a story, Pete.
Okay, so straight after WrestleMania, some video packages started playing for a brand new character, which eventually got revealed to be The Fiend. Bray Wyatt's new character, which was awesome.
So cool.
The video packages and the Firefly Funhouse segments were amazing. They were the thing that people were looking forward to every single week. And I know some people were quite worried about how he'd wrestle. And then he debuted at SummerSlam against Finn Balor, and it was awesome.
It is the best character reintroduction I've ever seen.
Ever.
It was from WrestleMania, the Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania, through to SummerSlam, is perfect.
Yeah.
It is note perfect. It's flawless.
Yeah. Absolutely flawless stuff. Perfect storytelling, capped off with a perfectly told match at SummerSlam, which just furthered Bray Wyatt being the most popular thing in the company.
Coolest entrance you've ever seen. It was badass.
And for once, and again, credit to WWE, they said, this thing's really hot, let's push him to the moon.
Yeah, he's selling a ton of merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
Let's ride this momentum.
Let's do it. So, what's the biggest thing they could do after that? How about a Universal Championship match against Seth Rollins inside Hell in a Cell? Wow, that's awesome. Love to see The Fiend inside a Hell in a Cell match. And imagine if he wins the Universal Championship in his second match back. That would be insane, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. It's almost too insane, Pete.
Almost too good to be true. Because what we got at the main event of the show was a match that started off so well. The entrances were great, and it started off with Seth Rollins getting a kendo stick and Bray Wyatt no-selling it. And
the red lights.
The red lights were whatever, but it added something to the match. It felt different. It felt big time, having the lights, I thought, for this one match anyway. And then it kind of went a bit off the rails because Bray Wyatt got a big oversized mallet and tried to pierce him with it.
Yep.
Sure. But then Seth Rollins did a stomp. And then he did another stomp. And another stomp. And then the Fiend kicked out at one. And then Seth Rollins delivered like 9 more stomps to him. And then he hit him in the face with a chair. And then he got a ladder. And then he got a toolbox and put that on top of him. No DQs at this point because it's a Hell in a Cell match. Why would you ever have a DQ in a Hell in a Cell match? And then Seth Rollins gets a sledgehammer. Or, as some people might call it, a small mallet.
Yeah.
Smaller than the one that Bray Wyatt had used earlier. And then he goes to hit the pile of ladders and chairs and toolboxes mm-hmm. that are on Bray Wyatt's head. And the referee stops him and says, no, 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 don't do this. This isn't who you are. And Seth goes, yeah, you're right. Just kidding. And then goes and hits the pile of stuff. The armor that's protecting Bray Wyatt. He hits that armor and then the match is called off.
Yeah, we had a no contest.
A no contest in a Hell in a Cell match.
Oh.
And it's the most damaging moment. It's, I think, something that I've watched live and in person. I think it's probably the most damaging thing I've seen. Because I'd say, like, you know, the Nexus losing in 2010 is probably up there. I didn't watch that live. I retroactively watched that after I got back into wrestling. But I think this, watching it in the moment, as soon as that bell rang, I was like, he's done. He's done.
And you're absolutely right in that it really, like, we've talked about sort of like killing of momentum, you know, and like how like the killing of momentum for Kofi as soon as he won the title, because it's like, and now you're a mid-carder.
Yes.
And then obviously then the, you know, the complete death of that when he lost to Lesnar. Becky losing her momentum when she apologized to the McMahons. This completely killed the Fiend's momentum.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in the lead up to Hell in a Cell, we were getting so many super chats, so many questions being like, what are they going to do with the Fiend? I can't wait to see what they're going to do with the Fiend. What's going to happen at Hell in a Cell? And we all said there's only one outcome that can happen, and that's Fiend winning. If that's not the outcome you have, then don't book the match.
Yep.
You booked yourself into this corner and then be like, well, we had no choice. Like, you did have a choice.
Yeah, don't book the match.
Don't book the match. And it's, or just put the belt on him. Because what do they do a couple of weeks later? Put the belt on him.
Put the belt on him.
So why do the Hell in a Cell finish? And it's not tied into Seth's heel turn.
No.
You can retroactively pretend that Seth's heel turn's off on that, but it's not. His heel turn stems from Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
His heel turn like stems from Raw losing at Survivor Series. It's got nothing to do with Hell in a Cell and all the stuff he was doing with The Fiend. It really, really hurt The Fiend. And he has had to work really hard to get people back into The Fiend.
Credit to Bray Wyatt.
He's managed it.
He's done a good job of getting back on it when a lot of other wrestlers would have their careers ruined because of a moment like this. Ryback
had
a very similar thing.
It was incredible to watch this. And I was like, I cannot believe they Ryback this.
Yeah.
Like, years later, no lessons were learned. And they completely Rybacked it again. And I was almost stunned watching that show. Because I watched it the morning after, because me and Ollie were the ones doing the review. And I was like, I was just gobsmacked. And then the crowd really booed this.
Oh,
started
yeah.
booing the top babyface in the company in Seth Rollins because they effectively blamed him for the finish. It's not his fault, obviously.
Not his fault.
But the way that the match was structured, you boo Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, you suddenly have the Fiend pop up like a monster who and attacks Seth Rollins and lays him out. And the crowd boo the Fiend. Not for heel heat. They just booed everything that was going on because they're like, we've been effed here.
Yeah.
We've been completely screwed. It was bad. It is easily the worst finish to any show in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it might be one of the worst finishes of the decade.
Yeah, totally.
In terms of how hot a character was,
mm-hmm.
man, it was bad.
It was really bad. And, like, the crowd started chanting, restart the match.
Yeah.
Because...
Fiend's okay now.
The Fiend's fine. The Fiend was always fine.
He was playing possum, apparently.
He was playing possum. So, like, why throw out the match?
Yeah, and it... sorry, it really hurt Seth a lot after that as well.
Totally.
Seth had already started his not cool shtick being on Twitter, but this was worse because he then started defending the finish on Twitter. Sean Waltman, man, in the watch-along.
Oh, he summed it up, didn't he?
Yeah. How could you have? I'm going to do a Sean Waltman impression. Apparently, yeah. Steve Austin. A freaking DQ in a Hell in a Cell match. Because he didn't know it was no contest. Because that's the other side of this. Well, it was so badly told, no one knew what the finish was.
Exactly.
And it was 2 years in a row we had a terrible finish to a Hell in a Cell match. Which means you start to kill that stipulation as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bad, bad, bad. For me, quite easily, it's the worst moment of 2019.
Yep. Got far and away.
Right, well, let's quickly go through some honorable mentions for this, because speaking of bad finishes, the WrestleMania 35 botched pin.
Yeah, because it was already a long show, so I think a lot of people were quite tired by the end of it anyways. But we got to what was the main event, which was the women's triple threat for both Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships. And Becky Lynch won. However, I think the way a lot of people envisioned that moment going was she tapped out one of them. She stands tall with both belts. She got a crucifix roll-up on Ronda, but her shoulders went off the mat on the one count.
Way up.
And then the ref continued counting, so it looked really odd and stupid. And then Becky won, even though she shouldn't have. But then everyone was kind of a bit confused afterwards. It didn't have the big crowning moment that we all wanted for Becky. It didn't really happen.
Yeah, it was a real shame.
Yeah.
A real damp way to end. Sorry, a real damp way to start Becky's run as Becky Two
Becky
Belts.
Two Belts,
and, you know,
yeah.
To really say, like, you've won the first women's main event of WrestleMania.
Mm.
And it ends in this big, emphatic moment. No, it was a roll-up.
Yeah.
You know, which is a bad way to end off a pay-per-view anyway. You want that big... Ronda tapping out moment to the mm-hmm. to the disarmer, really build and ramp the crowd up so they can explode. The crowd didn't explode because the finish was completely balked. And yeah, when you hear then the reasoning why, it's because, well, Ronda never tapped out in UFC. It's not real! It's fake fighting! Like, you can do whatever you want!
Yeah.
She could be, like, she could summon a unicorn! To, like, trample over her. Why? Because it's wrestling. You can do whatever you want. There's an undead, like, mortician wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, just do what you want.
In fairness, if she summoned a unicorn, I think that probably would have been a worse finish than a botched pin.
I'm sticking by it. we didn't want to do storylines, but we did have Mike Kanellis' first cuckolding, like, segments.
Yeah.
We just thought it kind of, like, snowballed and... I mean, the storyline got dropped with him and Maria.
Mm.
But, like, you know, it led to all the Lana, Lashley, Rusev stuff because Paul Heyman
was
like...
Opened the floodgates, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It opened the floodgates because you're like, yeah. Well, got to cuck someone.
Yeah, exactly.
TLC main event.
It's just uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable.
Really uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
I thought it really derailed all momentum. Kairi Sane's injury early was not pleasant to watch. Yeah, it was just a not nice moment to end the last pay-per-view of the decade.
I think it also, I mean, we saw this a lot in the live chats during the show. And actually in the sort of post-show that we did as well, where the highlights and lowlights, there was a lot of people in there being like, oh, and this is why women shouldn't main event pay-per-views, which is such an awful take and not the takeaway from that match.
No.
Like, that's the last takeaway from that match. It's not even, it shouldn't even be a takeaway. But it does lead... people to be like, oh yeah, well, this is why.
Yeah,
it's a real shame.
And I really hope that the people that don't have that take are backstage creative types in WWE, because that would be awful.
Speaking of uncomfortable, Jim Cornette's NWA commentary gaffe.
Yeah.
No place for it in 2019.
No place for it ever, really.
The reveal of the 24/7 title.
Wasn't great, was it?
No, crowd.
It's an ugly title.
It's an ugly old belt, isn't it?
Crowd.
It didn't get off to the hottest of starts.
No.
And yeah, quite quickly was established that this is a joke title for jokes, and they very quickly gave up on it.
Yeah, it had its moments in its early stages. I thought there were a couple of bits where I was like, "Oh, that's pretty funny." It's about it.
And lastly, for our honourable mentions, and this really did very nearly make our top 10 because this was very ill thought out. It was Cody bringing out Pharaoh during his entrance at All Out when there were lots of fireworks going off. It's not an unknown thing that dogs are afraid of fireworks.
Like, it's not rocket science.
Or fireworks science.
Or fireworks science, for that matter. Just don't bring your dog.
No.
Or if you're going to bring your dog, don't have any pyro.
Yeah, I mean, and really, did Pharaoh need to be there? Like, I know it's part of the Nightmare family, but it was so ill-advised.
Yeah, totally.
It was a really, really poor decision. And, you know, Tony Khan said, he goes, then they had to freak out because you've got Hangman Page doing his entrance on a horse later in the night. And then on Dynamite, only a few weeks ago, you had Jake Hager just yanking this goat out of from backstage, who clearly also didn't want to be there because he's afraid of all the noise.
Yeah.
Just dragging him by the throat. It's just not cool, man.
No.
Animal cruelty's not cool.
That's...
It's not called animal cruelty.
Hot take. Animal cruelty is not good.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.